Well, I thank you for being here. I know, you know, Tad talked to me about setting something like this up, and, you know, you have mixed feelings, you know, what you should or should not do, but there's a lot of people that mean a lot to me, so I think I'd like to take advantage of this time when it was forwarded to me. So, as everybody knows, yesterday after the game, had a conversation. After I had a chance to meet with the players and their staff, I came in, and then Dave passed on the information that the organization decided to move in a different direction as far as a head coach. So, you know, as you would assume, it's a tough thing to hear, a challenging thing to hear. But I think as I've had a chance to sit back and, you know, think about it, I think all of a sudden it comes into your mind how grateful you are. And we're very grateful. Our family, roughly 4 years ago, had a chance to move to Jacksonville. And this city has been unbelievable. We've had great, great memories here. Our family's enjoyed it. And I can't say enough about the city in itself. And I think that goes on to, you know, a lot of people that we've met have been so good to us. You know, starting with Shad Khan, I don't know what I can say about him. Words don't give him justice, I don't think. He is a great leader. He's a confidant. I consider him a great friend, a guy that I've leaned on and talked to multiple times. And I just think this whole city, this whole organization, the fans of this organization know that Shad's got one thing in mind, and that's what's best for this organization and best for this fan base. And there is not a doubt in my mind he'll deliver that. So I thank him. I've had a great relationship with Dave Caldwell. Not only Dave, but his family. I know when I was in Seattle, Pete Carroll told me, you know, when you meet a GM for the first time, you got to develop a marriage. You got to really treat it like a marriage. And we did that. And with Dave, and not only Dave, but Joel and young Dave and just his whole family. And then on the business side of it, too, I think we've had great conversation. I've learned a great deal about the NFL through Dave on that side of things. And, you know, there's been challenging discussions with him and the scouting staff, but good discussions. And his support's been unwavering. And to him, I'm grateful. You know, and then you start thinking about other things too, our support staff. You know, everybody that was involved in our building. You know, I'm talking, you know, Elizabeth and Tyler and all the people that have worked hand in hand with me and our coaching staff on this journey. It's hard to mention all of them, but, you know, so grateful to them. And then, you start thinking about the fans. And our fans have been great. I cannot tell you over the past 4 years and daily how many notes of encouragement, how many texts, how many shout-outs, how much information I've gotten from our fans, just support. And it's unbelievable, unbelievable. And to the media, to you that have been here on a daily basis and cover this team and cover me and listen to me on a daily basis, there's so many times we've had conversation when I've asked you to maybe keep it off the record or it's between us, and for 4 years you've never went against that. And I appreciate that greatly as well. The players, you know, what do you say about them? Until you're with them every day, and you see what they go through, you know, I've heard that the players say, you just don't, you know, people just don't understand what we go through. You know, I've been there with them, and I see what they're going through. Haven't experienced all of it, but a lot of it. And there's amazing people in that locker room. You talk about resilient. Someone asked me, they said, Gus, how do you think the players will be? They'll be great because they're so resilient. They understand the business. They understand, you know, people come and go at times. And although it might be tough, they'll bounce back and become even stronger. And, you know, sometimes change is good. Sometimes change is good. And it may be in this fact for the players. I'm hopeful that it is because they deserve nothing but the best. And I'm pulling for them. You know, it's just, I think the coaches, you know, we've got a great staff, great, great staff. And I hope that the ones that are qualified are taken into consideration for this opportunity. And I believe there is. I believe there's great candidates. There's a great staff. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be around very, very good people in the NFL and in college. And our staff is made up of a lot of really good people, really good coaches. So I thank them, too. So, you know, like I said, the record, what took place, I take full responsibility for it. I have no excuses. I have no misgivings. There's nothing that I look back at and say, would have, could have. I understand that NFL is a business and it's results oriented, and we didn't get it done. And as far as given the opportunity, and did Shaw provide? He provided everything that we needed, and so did Dave. And Mark Lamping, the conversations I've had with him too, he's been a strong mentor for us as well. So with that, I'll leave it up for questions.
Thank you for doing this, first of all. The way it was handled yesterday, phone call from ownership, did that surprise you that you didn't at least get the last two games?
No, I don't know what's surprising. I think at the time, you after having talks with the players, you come in the locker room and it's 21-20 and you're shocked. And, so at that point in time, my mind was completely on that. So I thought Dave handled it very well. I thought, Tony Khan, the whole Khan family has been great. Tony and I have developed quite a relationship, and he was involved in it too. So when I had conversations with him, but it was, I don't know. I'm not, I try not to be bitter, a bitter person. So when we had the conversation, it was more reflection and where this team is going and how we can make it even better.
Have you looked ahead and thought about what you might like to do next year as far as coaching?
No. Been receiving a lot of texts and what you think you see, you get a lot of texts when you get a job, when something like this occurs. But it's pretty neat, just how many people reach out. I love coaching. I love it. Hopefully I'm coaching somewhere. I'm right now, my family was still asleep at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, boy, they're really taking it hard. I haven't had much time to visit with them. We'll see, right now. There's part of you, I already miss it. I already miss it. And that's what's tough.
Is there anything where you feel like it went wrong, or I know you said you have no misgivings about how right. you did it, but is there anywhere you go?
Well,
this is where it went off.
I think you do. I think you look back and you say, God, maybe if this took place, or you always do that. I think you always want to challenge yourself, so you find ways to improve. And I think that you write down things and you go back and you look at it and say, what would I have done differently? But we have those conversations every week. Dave and I did, and our coaches. We write out reports at the end of the week. What would we do differently? How would we go about it? So I think you'll always take the time to do that.
Did at any point did you feel like you wanted to bench the quarterback because he wasn't giving you the best chance to
win? No.
All right. Do you regret not giving somebody else a look at that position?
At quarterback?
Yeah.
No. You know what? Let me say this about Blake. I'm a big Blake Bortles fan, obviously. Did he not play as well? Did he not meet the expectation, his own expectations, or what was set out? Yeah, I would think that'd be a question to ask him, but I'd say no. We all know that there's a higher level for him, but I believe in Blake Bortles. I think that I've said that many times. I think this season really stings. It really hurts. It really hurts that team. Now, my hopes is that sting hurts enough that it really challenges them to go another direction. And you see that happen with some people and with some teams. And I think that's how you're going to see Blake Bortles come back from it. I think that it stings enough, and he's such a fierce competitor. I expect nothing but good things to happen for him and this team with him as the leader.
Was the trip home last night awkward, or was it good for you? And how emotional was it when you went through and maybe player by player?
Right. I thought maybe I'd get a chance today, but we didn't have a team meeting. In that part, I'm glad I was on the plane because I did have a chance to talk to him, or some came up to me and visited. But the text that you receive, the one thing with coaching is, it's not over. I know that's hard to say. I've received multiple texts from players in Tampa, from Seattle, multiple. And, So it's hard to say, oh, it's over, because it really isn't over. I guess maybe I don't choose to look at it. When you have relationships with these guys, it's not just for the time that you're there. I think it becomes even stronger when you're apart.
How impressed were you by Todd Wash's ability his first year as defense coordinator to kind of really grow the defense and improve the defense?
I thought he did an outstanding job. The whole defensive staff, but under his leadership, I think we got back. We had multiple conversations in the off season about where we wanted to go and take this defense to another level. The acquisitions helped, along with the guys that were in place. But I think to come up with a package that was maybe very similar to what we always knew it should look like, but then make some additions to make it even stronger. So he's did a phenomenal job.
Gus, your message always to the players, you were always trying to create that stress-free environment for them so that they could play at their best. Why do you think, in this time of reflection, have you had a chance to think about why it didn't kind of capture so many enough of the team for them to take responsibility for the accountability and the discipline?
I've heard you say that before about stress-free. I don't know if it's stress-free. Maybe it's more the things you can't control, just move aside, ignore that part. There's enough other things that we gotta, put our attention to. So, I think it's more ignore the noise. I think when you go through it, you want to improve and it's results, and there's probably, there's tension between the two. I think that's probably the way to look at it. You don't want it, it's just about improving, but it's not just solely about winning. I think you need both. You need both. And finding that tension between the two, that's the challenge of any coach. If you talk to highly successful athletes, coaches that have been part of teams, they really talk about the process. But I'm sure the ones that do it really well, there's tension. And that's what every coach is searching for.
Gus, you knew when you signed up for this was going to be a tough haul in the early going, at least, mm-hmm. with the whole plan. Was it harder than you imagined it would be in terms of getting it or trying to get it right?
I thought they painted a really good picture when I interviewed what it was going to be and what it was going to entail. And I think we all knew what the challenges that we were facing. But it was very intriguing to me. When I heard that, I was like, okay, this is really, really going to take every ounce. This is really going to be challenging. And it's required a lot of hard work and attention in multiple areas. And that was intriguing to me. So, was it tough? Yeah, it is tough. But I believe it's better than where it was, but still work to be done.
Shad called his team extremely talented last night. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think I do. I think every team is talented, though, in the NFL. So it depends. I've used the analogy, like the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team where I'm, from. They've got 5 lottery picks, and you'd say, boy, they're very talented. But talent alone doesn't take you to the playoffs. It doesn't make you it's not just talent. So, Gus, is this a talented team? Without a doubt, it's talented. Without a doubt. Do you think it's a playoff team? Well, we'll see on that. Now, so when you say, Gus, it's a talented team, it is a talented team, but most teams in the NFL are. It's the process of taking a talented team and having it meshed together to do, really good things. Now, and it's a league that is, not only is it a precision league on the field, but it's a precision league as far as overall your record and what's the difference. We lost a 1-point game. We had a safety. It's one thing here, one thing there. That's how the game is. So you have talent that puts yourself in that position, and then there's things that have to take place to get you over that hump.
Have you thought about coaching in college?
I'll coach anywhere.
Okay.
I just want to coach. I've never been, to me the big time's where you're at. And I just want to be a part of it. I think someone asked me, Gus, do you want to be a head coach again? And I just want to go be a part of something special. I just want to go to a place and help that organization and give everything I can to help it be its best. I never got caught into roles.
Gus, what's the process now? You've been holidays with your family?
I don't know. you know, I want to make sure that we have a good Christmas in the Bradley household. I want to make sure of that. So they might have to nudge me a little bit. You know, there's, you know, I'm sure there'll be things that will happen fast, you know, and some decisions that will be made. I just got to, you know, take time to reflect a little bit on that.
You've talked a lot about the penalties this year. They're high early, then dipped in the last couple of games again. Were you able to put your finger on it? Was it, were guys thinking they could get away with some stuff, or were there effort penalties?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think, get away with some stuff. I think that penalties are part of the game. They happen, but you're right. There's games where we had 14 and 15, and as a coaching staff, we'd say that's unacceptable. We can't have that many penalties. It hurts you. We had some issues with some false starts and through noise or through cadence or whatever thing that need to be cleaned up. And there's things that pop up like that. I don't know if you look at it and say, well, there's lack of accountability. I mean, you guys will decide that. I think that's where the coaching staff will look at this week, and they'll decide it.
Chris, do you have any regrets about any of the decisions on personnel or anything like that, major things that looking back on now you go, maybe if I'd done this instead, or can you not just do that? You just can't do that.
Oh, no. I think that you have to have humility. I think humility is a big part of it, to say, no, you know what, I have no regrets. When I said no regrets about, putting the effort into it, but when you talk about specific things, hey, as you reflect back on this, would you do anything differently? Well, I think you have to do that. I think we all do that. You look back at some decisions, but once you make a decision, I've always been the mindset, let's go. Let's make this a good decision. And you pour your heart and soul into it. To me, I think that's where, for Dave and I, you know, obviously we have different personalities, and that was a good thing. The personality is this. If you give us a player or you give me a player as a coach, then I want to take that player and help him be his best. And you're going to have to take him away from me to stop from me helping him. So somebody needs to go, Gus, we need to move on from him. We need to move on from him, and we have to go a different direction, because it's like a bulldog. I'm going to help this guy. I got to help this guy. You feel like you can save everybody somewhat, you know? So I think it's important that you have that personality. If a coach feels that way, then someone has to have the personality to say, it's time. It's time. You know, we have to move on. I think that's regrets, you look back at it and say, maybe I stuck too long, you know, maybe I should have gave more time, maybe I put too much effort into this one person when there's 89 other guys, but I don't know if that's ever going to change, you know, for me.
Did you coach as much as you wanted to?
The best part of the head coaching stuff, there's things you look and, you know, but you also want to provide strength. I wanted to make sure this defense was Todd Wash's defense and the defensive coaching staff, not they're running Gus Bradley's defense. I think that was very important to me. So to be involved and be there and be involved in meetings, I was more involved this year than in previous years, and to be that sounding board. But I also wanted them to have ownership of it, different than when you're in charge of a position group or a unit.
Has it been something to you that you impacted those guys in the locker room outside of football, maybe by the text that you got from them or whatever it might be?
Well, they impacted me. I think it goes both ways. I think everybody you come in contact, you hope, if someone said, this probably is not going to sound good here, but sometimes when I talk to younger coaches and they say, hey, Gus, you think I want to go into coaching. What do you think? And I'll ask them, why do you want to go into coaching? And to some of them, it's, well, I want to win championships. And that's good. That's great. It's awesome that you have that. But I found usually those guys are the ones that struggle a little bit. But it's one way of doing it, and they can have success doing that. There's another way of looking at it, and a lot of people say this is because they were influenced by a coach that they had, and they want to share that and influence others. you know, because someone had such, and that was for me, someone had such great influence on me as a coach, I in turn one had that influence on somebody else. And that person who had great influence on me, we also won, you know, and that's the same thing. Winning is very important, so I don't want to take away from that, but you get into it because you want to have influence on people. And so, and I think that when you influence people, you receive back too. And hopefully it was like that.
How disappointed are you you did not get to speak to your team one last time?
You hope you can. You just don't, as long as they understand, then I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk that you care, you appreciate them, and, oh, really, Gus? We didn't get a chance to hear from you one last time. I don't want to give them that perception. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they understand me, and it's not that. So other than that, they got to move on, and it's time.
Jeff Fisher did an exit interview yesterday. He says, I can't wait to play the Rams again. He comes off as bitter. How tough is it to not sound bitter for you? I mean, it's human nature to say, hey, this, you know, I should see this through.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own beliefs. I try not to be bitter. Because I think when you're bitter, it just breeds negativity. And when you breed negativity, then it brings people down. So I always challenge our team, don't let your spirit become bitter. Because a bitter spirit will bring people down. That's not what we're about. So, you know, I guess I have to make sure that I'm not become that person.
If a coach were to reach out to you and for your advice on what they'd be stepping into here, what would be your advice?
Oh, I hope they do. Because it'll be a long conversation. It'll be a very, very positive conversation. I'm telling you, this organization with this ownership and this front office and support staff is unbelievable. And it's easy for me to say, right, when I'm hired and I'm a part of it, but I just got let go yesterday. You know, so now is the time. But I'm not saying that. It's genuine. I'm telling you, it's genuine. This place is phenomenal. The owner is phenomenal. So it's a really, really great opportunity. And the players, you know, I think you're coming into a situation where this is a hungry, chip-on-the-shoulder team. So if a coach was looking at this, you'd say, pretty good situation.
At any point, looking back at this whole retrospective, was the team too young? And I know that it's been 4 years and there's different teams. I know that. But did you ever...
Well, I think it's hard because sometimes people use that as an excuse. I've said that before. We're not young anymore. We can't use that as an excuse. So I've seen young teams do pretty well. It's hard. It makes it challenging. I'll tell you where it makes it challenging is when you're going through tough times. When you have that veteran presence and a guy that's been there and been through it, he can go to those younger players and say, hey, listen, here's how we do this. You just grind. You put your nose down and you work. When you don't have that veteran presence on a team, that's hard to help send that message to these guys. We had some guys. You know, Puzz was great. Mercedes was awesome. It's just, you know, when you have more of that veteran presence and they overtake everybody and they go, this is how it's done now. You know, been there, done that. And it just makes that team so much more powerful. And now you have a group of guys that have gone through it. And that's part of being a veteran. That's what I talked to Jalen Ramsey about. I said, Jalen, listen, I know this hurts, but 3 years or 4 years or 5 years from now, if you go through this again, you will be able to share this with a younger player and help him. Don't miss anything. Don't miss any of it. You've got to take this all in so it makes you even better if it comes up again, you know.
Follow up on Hayes' question about analytics was a big part of this process when you were hired and Dave was hired. Did it become too much a part of the job for you? Was it shoved down your throat too much?
No. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I thought it helped me grow as a coach. Right. I thought the opposite. I thought it was really good. But I couldn't get enough of it, you know. So a lot of the situations, you have to pick and choose the pieces that you want and which you think is good. But as far as giving you the confidence to make decisions based on knowing all the information, I thought it was really good.
How'd you tell your family? And is this the first time you've ever been fired?
Yeah, this is the first. Ever. Well, I've been on part of staff, but the head coach just got fired.
Okay.
You know?
But you personally? First time anybody in any job?
Yeah, first time me where I was told.
Where
yeah,
somebody
this is the first time.
You were fired.
Yeah,
friend.
Yeah.
And how'd you tell your family?
This was tough because you had to do it over the phone, you know. So, and then my phone went dead right in the middle, you know. So, right when I was telling them. So, but I ended up working all right. So I ended up, you know, getting back in touch with them. But they were good, you know.
You called and put you on speakerphone?
No, I just talked to her. I just talked to her. And then she told the kids, and then she said the kids were great. But like any family, right, when does it hit you? When you see it on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, when you see your dad's name on the TV. That's, you know, but, you know, they're resilient. I mean, I told you they were still sleeping at 8 this morning. So, you know, they must have got over it pretty good.
Young kids are going to be sleeping.
Yeah.
Gus, do you think you had enough, say, on personnel, you know, from the 90 to the 75, 53?
It was pretty open. Even though Dave was in charge of 53, I had every opportunity to voice my opinion. And was there disagreements on some? Yes, there was. And I guess if I would give any advice, make sure there's disagreements. You know, you want that. Just like I said, there's tension, should be tension. There should be tension between the head coach and GM, too, as far as decisions that need to be made. But it was always, it never became where it was personal or anything like that. But was there disagreements on the way? There's times there's disagreements.
That's the number one question going forward now is going to be about Blake. I know you hit on him a little bit, but why do you have so much, I mean, he has struggled so much at times this year, struggled yesterday big time. Why do you have the confidence?
Well, I think that when you're around people, you think, you kind of get a feel for people you start saying, you know what, I believe in, and I think they've got a great opportunity or a great chance to be successful. And they may stumble along the way, but you say, you know what, I just think that guy's going to be successful. Hopefully someone says that about our coaching staff, you know, or, you know, people that come up to it. But that's what I think with Blake. He's got all the attributes. He's competitive, he's tough, he's physical, he's smart, he studies, he's into it, he's learning, you know. So I just have great faith in him because of that. It's kind of like Marquise Lee to me. You know, it's like, he's the albino tiger and all the people said. And you say, no. Just keep believing. This, forget that part. Stress-free. Ignore that noise. Ignore that noise, man. You got work to do now. Let's not see that. We have to be true to it. You know, the truth is out there. You can either accept it or reject it, but it's still the truth.
The team was always $40 million under the salary cap, right around there under your time. Was that ever a source of frustration that there wasn't more aggressiveness, maybe? Even though you guys were aggressive,
sure.
That there wasn't maybe.
Especially the last year, right? Yeah. You know, so it was presented to me what we were going to do when I took the job, saying, hey, you know, we got to get back and get things in order. And, you know, we're going to try to get it in a situation to when we have our draft picks and guys are start doing well. It doesn't set us back when we're going to sign these guys. So when there's that much money under the cap going into this year, I mean, still like last year, a lot of money under the cap. I just have great trust. Why are we doing this? Because that's what we said, and we're going to do that for the future. And it was never about, could be my last year. This may be our, you know, we got to get going. It was never about that with me. It was always what's best for the organization. Well, we need this money when these guys do well so we can take care of them. Then do that. Don't worry about me. Then do that. Keep this organization. Shad is in Champaign or London or France or wherever he's at. I think I always took it as he's counting on us to make decisions what are best for the organization, even if he's not in the building every day. So I think that's kind of was my mindset. And I know Dave's too.
Sorry, teams respond different ways. How do you think these guys will respond over the final two games, your players, your ex-players now?
Well, all I can go off of is, you know, what they've shown me, you know. So, like I said, they're resilient. They're very resilient. And some things might upset you. You see them, how they handle some things or how they're acting or how they talk or all that. But when it comes down to it, when they go on the field, you know, they'll come ready to play. So I expect nothing more else than that.
Who would you promote as the interim coach if you had a choice?
If I had a choice, I don't know. Have they announced one?
No.
2 o'clock.
Oh, 2 o'clock. I think there's great candidates, though. I think, like, Doug Marone obviously is a guy that stands out. And I think Doug is, would be a great candidate. And that's, like I mentioned before, about, hey, I think there's some great candidates within the staff. So I imagine, that he's probably one that's in strong consideration since he was assistant head coach.
One name that was been out there is Tom Coughlin. For the future, when you faced him, what kind of competitor was he?
Well, I have a great deal of respect for Tom Coughlin. He's, Coach Coughlin and I would have dinner together and breakfast together, and, we got the combine. We made efforts to spend time with each other. So, he's a great competitor, and he's got a fire that all of us know about him. So, I have nothing but hold him in high regard.
Follow-up on the family. This is the first time in high school-age kids now who are athletes. Will that impact what you may do next year? Or do you think, because they're established at their schools?
With my kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. That will have an impact. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we always want to make decisions what's best for the family. Mm-hmm. But we're a pretty close family, so... first and foremost, we'd like to all be together. I think that's important. But sometimes sacrifices have to be made, and then I think it's got to be what's best for them, too.
Coach, a lot of guys get second chances in this league. Should you get a second one, how does your approach change as opposed to your?
Well, again, I think it's a great question. I don't want to go there. I think for me, what's my next opportunity? I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm going to pour my heart and soul into it, man. You are going to get 150% of me, and whatever that role is. So I don't think so much of, do you want to be a head coach again? Do you think that? I don't know about that. I just want to be the best I can be for wherever I'm at. And then let's see what happens. Now, will my coaching style change, or will be there some from this experience? Without a doubt.
You rallied to beat Chicago to move to 2-3. Where did you think this team was going at that point?
No, it was good. I think that, I think we get somewhat see it just like as fans do. You say, hey, let's get another one. We had a couple in a row, and then we had the big game against Oakland, and it didn't turn out the way we wanted to. Yeah, at that point, I thought that was a big win that we came back from, and sometimes that can really give you a lot of momentum.
Did you know that you were in trouble at any point in the season through conversations with Shad or anything like that, or did you just kind of put that out the back?
Well, I think, if you want to be real, people that say, I don't pay any attention to it, I think people probably hear it, I think, to be real, Was I aware that this year was a big year for us? Yeah, I was aware of that part. Was I focused on it, or did it come in and become? No, I wasn't like that. I wasn't like that. It was more about, okay, how can we get these players to, okay, Blake, how can we talk to him? How can we help Talvin? He got beaten, all go special in preseason. Okay, let's get him right. It was more. You got so many things you're trying to help people of that all of a sudden that becomes minor. So.
One regret.
I'd just like to be here with this team. When it's successful. And I do really believe this fan base is unbelievable. And the regret I have is not seeing these players and all the, when you go through something that's hard and then you come through it and you have success and you say, that's why we do it. That's why these lessons, look at where it took you. And then see a stadium that's filled like what you told me about when they came back from the playoffs and the plane flew around, the stadium was filled. I kept envisioning that part of it, where this city would go wild and the players, and we connected with the following. And so, you know, it wasn't like 50% of the fans hated our players and 50% liked them because they were this type. It was 100% liked them. They connected with their fans. They connected with the following. They played good football. They won. They didn't have an enemy. They had no enemies. And everybody was pulling for them. So, you know, I regret, because I do believe that's going to happen. So I regret not being here to see that.